Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of the Beatitudes, we continue with the list of sins that Christians need to get out of their hearts. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked, he who condemns the righteous. Both of them are an abomination to the Lord. And he says both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. You might be one that justifies wicked people. You might be one that condemns the righteous. For example, he says this has been an abomination to the Lord. He's not talking about the preacher. He's talking about the Lord that this is an abomination to. Preacher is hitting sin. And all of a sudden you say, oh, that preacher has nothing but a hobby horse. Now, when I quit counting, I had been accused of a hobby horse. I think I had 17 of them. Well, you got 17 hobby horses, you're building a pretty good stable. So I've got about 17 hobby horses that I've been accused of over the years. And that should grow as we continue to preach the word, because preaching the word makes religious people upset if Christ is not all in all in their heart. And isn't it interesting? They get mad and more mad at the preacher preaching against sin than they do the sin that he's preaching against. Well, what's the problem with that person? Well, they love the world. They love the world. If you have to love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. When a person gets a, well, what's wrong with that attitude? Or, well, you know, it's not really that bad. But oh, if he begins preaching against carnality, then they find fault. Isn't it interesting how Christians can justify the top rock stars of today, the top sports athletes in their sins of the day, and the same Christian turn around and condemn the pastor for preaching the truth and acting like they can see their heart and say, well, he preached the truth, but it wasn't in love. Okay. Well, that's a person who justifies the wicked, condemns the righteous. And it's not me saying, it's the Lord says, they're an abomination. Don't defend those rock videos. Don't defend your MTV and your VH1 and VH2s and whatever other things that are out there. Don't defend those things. They're sin. That's what they are. And we should be separate from sin. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24 and 25. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within his heart. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. Whoa, 7 abominations. 7 different things in his heart that is utterly detestable and revolting to God. This is the person that can wrong you. And instead of just a verbal attack on them direct to their face, you start telling things to other people about them. Maybe it's a lie, or maybe it's a truth, but it's an intimacy that was not given to you to share with others. But now they've hurt you, you share that secret of theirs. Oh, you speak nice to the person, but you do your best to make them miserable. You get back at them the best you can. You may be the person that doesn't confront them directly, but you tell others, well, they said this about you. You know, is that true? Or, on the other hand, those people did something actually wrong to you, and you take on the martyr complex, trying to evoke sympathy from some people just to tear down the character of that object you hate. See, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and then he turns around and lays up deceit within his heart. He'll speak fair, but don't believe him, because there are seven abominations in his heart, the Bible tells us clearly here. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, it lets us know, if hatred is in your heart, you can't have fellowship with God. That's the truth of the whole matter. You just can't have fellowship with God. Now, my friend, all this and more is abomination that needs to be repented of, because you cannot be pure in heart and carry these things in your heart. It just can't happen. It just cannot be. An abomination, again, is something that is detestable, disgusting, downright contemptible, and revolting in the sight of God. Now, I would hate to think that I was doing anything that made God feel that way, wouldn't you? I would think so. Now, you notice that in most of these verses I shared with you from Proverbs, it said these abominations were things to the Lord. It wasn't to the preacher. The preacher may preach about it, but the abominations actually to God. Now, don't be like King Saul, who said one thing, but he meant another. Repeatedly, King Saul was confronted with his sins. And repeatedly, he expressed regret, and repeatedly by his jealousy, his fears, his insecurities, he repeated the same sins. Saul, as many Christians, represents a man who wants to do right, but as a result of mixed motives, is dragged down to the level of his baser instinct. Now, I wonder, does your devotion to God lack so much? You find that you also are repeatedly repenting of the same sin, whether it's at church or your personal devotion. And it is with many sins of character that keeps our hearts from purity, the purity that God desires. And perhaps the reason for this is that not only is purity a separation from evil, but it's also a heart that seeks to know God. You see, God wants to be wanted. Now, our heart does not seek God, will not, if we do not aggressively, diligently seek Him. Now, God wants to be wanted. When we will not allow anything to overshadow the blessed work of God, then are we His servants? We're living godly. God's work never proceeds without opposition from enemies, the enemies of true holiness and righteousness. That's going to happen, friend. And like Saul and like others, we often acknowledge the truth without understanding it. It is understood truth that transforms our life. I believe that's why the contemporary, the emergent church, and those things have made such inroads today. Neither the world nor the culture sets the agenda or purpose for our life. Friend, we're serving a heavenly master. So there's never a situation in which the way of the world is our only response. The ways that are impure are our only response. However, we don't get there if we don't develop a relationship that seeks to know God. Now, at this point, I'm not talking about duty. Instead, there's first of all Bible meditation that purifies our minds. Now, because of the day in which we live, let me be clear about Bible meditation. Today, there are many churches that are practicing Eastern mysticism, which involves contemplative meditation. Basically, they repackage it and sell it, calling it contemplative spirituality. Now, what contemplative meditation or contemplative spirituality is, it the idea that you blank your mind out. You just sit there and you wait for God to put something in your mind. You see, you're not even meditating on the Word of God. It's a belief system that's hit the Catholic Church and the emerging church. But it's using ancient mystical practices to get you to some type of an altered state of mind. They call it the silence. They take this mystic, occultic practice and wrap it in Christian terminology. Terms like spiritual formation, the silence, the stillness, ancient wisdom, spiritual discipline. Well, my friend, those are things that are the opposite of Bible meditation, and those are things that are an abomination to God. Bible meditation, meditating in His Word, as you read it, you ask the Holy Spirit of God to open your understanding to it, it will purify your mind. A church attendance will enlarge our capacity to love others and serve God. Jesus Christ ordained the church to be faithful to church and love the brethren. But our text says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Boy, isn't that a great promise? For they shall see God. God wants you to know Him personally. I think of the psalmist saying, when I remember thee upon my bed and met upon thee in the night watches. Now, when he's talking about meditating there in Psalm 63:6, he's not talking about, oh Lord, give me this. Help. Do this for me, do that for me. No, that's not meditation. But rather, meditating to know Him, to know who He is. Even the Apostle Paul, who had suffered many things for the cause of Christ, says in Philippians 3:10, that I might know Him. He knew that there was a deeper personal relationship and knowledge of the Lord to be had even than what this man of God had.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.